have heard me say this before, and I say this without any reservation whatsoever. I love you, and I pray that when we get to heaven, the Lord lets me spend eternity next to you singing to Him. Wow. Praise the Lord. It's so good to be here, and what a joy to be together, assembling together as God's children. No wonder He said, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, but let us encourage one another even the more as we see the day approaching. My brothers and sisters, the day is approaching. The hour is now. The day is at hand. And thank God for the gathering. Thank you, Brother Brian, Brother Trey. What a joy to be with you and to be asked to preach again behind this pulpit that I love and respect dearly. To each of you as church members, to guests, to fathers, I say happy Father's Day. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being a father who believes that it is not only the correct thing to do, it is the proper and right thing to do to be in the Lord's house. Amen. I bring you greetings from our association, from Miss Gail Moore and myself. We say we love you, we appreciate you, and I want you to hear me say we thank you for your faithfulness to the Lord, to your church, and to our association. Thank you. It does not go unnoticed. It is amazing to see over these last 3 months how God's people have been faithful. And I am humbled by that, that I get to be a part of an association where God's people are so faithful to Him. Thank you, thank you, thank you. If you have your Bibles, I don't want to delay any longer. 2 Samuel chapter 9. I want to share a text with you that describes how the father's love was passed down to another father who wanted to bless another father. Isn't it amazing? As we begin to look throughout the scripture from Genesis to Revelation, when we get the redemptive story, not just hear it, but receive it. That we understand our Heavenly Father's love that has been graciously, lavishly poured out upon us. That we are able then and only then to pour out that love upon others. It was Jesus who said this, by this all men shall know that you are my disciples if ye have love one for another. My brothers and sisters, may I submit to you this morning, we live in a day and a time where we need to be lavishly pouring out the Father's love upon others. It was the same King Jesus who said, love your enemies, pray for them who despitefully use you and persecute you. When you are compelled to go 1 mile, go 2. I say unto you, love your enemies. The title of this morning's message, if you're keeping notes, a note keeper. I've titled this message, From Rags to Riches. From Rags to Riches. You should be at 2 Samuel chapter 9. We're going to begin in verse 1, read all 13 verses. And so if you're able to stand in reverence to the Word of God, I would ask you to do so. I'll be reading from the King James. I believe maybe, yes, that's what they have on the screen. And so, all right, you follow along. 13 verses, pay attention. This is God speaking. And David said, Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, and the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, Thy servant is he. Verse 3. And the king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son who is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, Where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. Verse 6, Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, Behold, thy servant. And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. Verse 8, And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Then the king called unto Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him. Thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son have made food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. Would you bow as we pray? Heavenly Father, what a joy, Lord, to be among my brothers and my sisters, my family. But Lord, more than that, to be in the presence of Almighty God. Lord, to know that we are standing on holy ground, that we are in the presence of the Most High God. We ask you to move and to speak and to work and to draw and to redeem. Lord, I pray that you will do a cleansing and a converting work today that only you can do. Help us to understand this thought, from rags to riches. For your glory, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Most of you know I've shared with you many times, I was raised just north of Verda, about 2 miles just off of Iat Creek. We had a little bitty branch down below our house. We lived out in the backwoods of nowhere, and we only got a couple of TV stations. We had a pole that was strapped to the outside of our house, and it had something called a TV antenna on the top of it. In order to pick up a station, you had to let someone go outside while one stayed inside. You had to turn that pole until the antenna got in the right direction to receive the right reception. And at that moment, you would holler, "That's good!" Now, some of you don't have a clue what I'm talking about. Some of you do. Amen. I'm country. Couple of stations we picked up, we watched shows like High Chaparral, Gunsmoke, Bonanza, Andy Griffith. But one of my favorite, Beverly Hillbillies. Y'all ever heard of that show? Oh, you see, it was a show that started airing in 1962, ran for 9 years until 1971. It was a show about some poor, now you may say it this way, some poor folks. I mean, they were hillbillies in the Ozark Mountains. Father by the name of Jed Clampett, Granny, Ellie Mae, and Jethro. Y'all remember them, huh? One day, Pops, old Jed, was out hunting in the woods and he shot and he missed whatever he was shooting at and he hit the ground and struck oil. These poor folks in the Ozark Mountains, all of a sudden overnight, became multimillionaires and moved to California, to Beverly Hills. And they were known as the Beverly Hillbillies. Y'all remember that show? You see, they went from rags to riches overnight. That's hard to imagine. That someone could be living so poorly and then could be living so lavishly. But here is a picture of the Beverly Hillbillies. It was just a show. Every now and then you might catch it on some of these old channels again, some of those good shows, amen. But anyway, I wonder if you ever think about living in rags and all of a sudden you live in riches. I'd like to ask a deeper question this morning as we consider this text. How can we spiritually be dressed in filthy rags and then all of a sudden be wearing robes of royalty? Oh, filthy rags. And then be dressed in robes of royalty. You see, this scripture this morning will help us to understand that valuable truth. Because there's four physical things we find in this text that leads us to four deeper spiritual truths that we must understand. Now, let me catch you up with the context of where we are. David is king and God is blessing him. God's pouring out his blessings upon this king named David. And we find in chapter 8 that enemy after enemy is being defeated, the Philistines and the Moabites and the Syrians in chapter 8, where God gives the victory to the Israelites and a king by the name of David. And God is not only claiming victory over the enemy, but listen to me, he's claiming victory over the heart of a king named David. God is working in the heart of this king. Can I ask you something this morning? What's going on in your heart? What changes are taking place in your heart. Surely we could all stand and testify that we are blessed people of God, that God is claiming victory every day of our lives. He's sovereign and He's ruling and He's reigning and He's victorious. Amen. Listen, we are blessed physically, we are blessed spiritually, and we ought to acknowledge that God is doing a work. But what about in our own hearts? God is shaping the heart of this king named David. And we see here in this chapter 9, four things. The first thing we see is, number one, the promise of a covenant. Number two, we see a person under conviction. Number three, we see a purpose that leads to a confession. And then number four, we see our partaking of a charity. Now don't miss those four physical truths that in the end I will apply those spiritually, that I pray that you will be overwhelmed by the Father's love today. Number one, let's quickly look back and see in verse 1 and verse 2 the promise of a covenant. And David said, "Is there any yet that is left of the house of Saul?" Stop right there. Now think with me for a moment now. Surely God's doing a work in the heart of Saul. Because if you remember, it was this preceding king, Saul, who sought the life of David. This man, he tried to kill David, not once or twice, but many times. And so now we see that David is thinking about the house of Saul, the very soldiers, the very servants, the very enemy that tried to kill him. And so what is he wanting to do? Look what it goes on to say. "That I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake." There was in the house of Saul a servant by the name of Ziba. And when he called him, and he said to him, "Are you Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he, David." Oh, you see what happening here back in 1 Samuel chapter 20. We find that in verses 12 through 17, Jonathan and David were close, the closest of friends. They loved each other dearly. They had a bond that was so dear. And Jonathan, while he was still living, made a vow with David, and David made a vow with Jonathan that David would extend, because Jonathan knew David was the king and would be the king. And he said, "Please make a vow, make a promise that you will bless the house of Saul." And they made a vow. And now, my friend, as God is pouring out favor upon David, David now wants to extend that favor to others. He wants to show the favor, the love of God. Let me just stop and ask you this morning. How are you blessing others? How has God blessed you in order that you can pass on that blessing to someone else? Number two, how good are you at keeping vows, your promises? David made a vow. He remembered that vow. He remembered that promise. And so now he is wanting to fulfill the promise of that covenant. He said, "I want to know, is there anybody of the house of Saul that I may bless them and show them the favor of God?" Woo! I'll tell you, wouldn't I be a much better person? Wouldn't you be a much better person today if we lived with that attitude every morning we get up? If we prayed and said, "Lord God, you favored me. Oh, who can I favor today? Who can I bless today? Who can I show the love of God to today?" Imagine waking up with that heart every morning and living that life every day. Amen. We're talking about from rags to riches. Number two, not only do we see the promise of a covenant, we see a person of conviction. The king said, Is there not any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? Ziba, who was the servant of the house of Saul, said, Jonathan hath a son who is lame on his feet. Now, we might say it this way today. He's a crippled boy. You see, crippled men, crippled children in that day were looked down upon. They were really not a part of society. They were not allowed to exercise their rites in ceremonial services. They were forbidden to take part in many of the ceremonial activities of that day. They were like shunned. They were like lepers. The crippled ones were looked upon as being cursed of God. And Ziba said, oh, Jonathan's got a son, but he's a crippled boy. You can sense that he spoke this in a shameful way. Y'all catch that? But what's this? And the king said, where is he? Oh, David didn't receive it that way, did he? And Ziba said unto him, behold, he's of the house of Machir of Amiel of Lodabar. So he told David right where he was at, right where he was located, whose house he was living in. Then look what David says in verse 5. Then King David said, ascent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel of Lodabar. Amen. You see, David, had he had a cold heart, he would have said, oh, he's a crippled boy. I'm not going to help a crippled boy. I'm looking for a healthy boy. Are y'all still with me? We're talking about from rags to riches. God is doing a work in the heart of David. And David said, fetch him out. He sent after him. He said, go get him. I want him. Amen. Notice what happened when this person, Mephibosheth, the crippled boy, came into the presence of the king. Verse 6, now when Mephibosheth, you know what his name means? It means shame, disabled. That's what the word Mephibosheth means, shame. How'd you like to wear that name every day? Instead of someone calling you by your name Mephibosheth, they said, well, there goes shame or disgrace. You know, after a month or two or a year or two, that'd probably wear on you, wouldn't it? Now comes a servant from the king's house. Y'all, I'm talking physically now here. I'm talking about from the king. Here comes a servant. Knocks on the door. And said, Mephibosheth. Yeah, sir. The king is calling for you. He sent me after you. He wants you to come to his palace. Just think with me. Can you imagine that? Verse 6 says, when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, son of Saul, was come unto David, he was brought, he was carried. Y'all with me? Stay with me now. Physically lame, crippled, he was brought, he was carried unto the king. And whenever he come unto David, notice what happens. He fell on his face and did show reverence. You see, a person who has a name of shame and disgrace come into the presence of the earthly king, and he understands authority and understands respect, and he bows on his face and he shows reverence to this king. You know why? Because he saw the authority of the king. And he saw and understood the unworthiness of himself. Here is someone that is of conviction. There is a convicting work of God that is taking place. Lord, y'all listening to me now. I'm talking about the favor of God that showed favor to David. And David is passing on that favor to a disabled boy whose name is shame and disgrace. So we see number two, the person of conviction. Watch this. Number seven, verse seven, we see the purpose of confession. Notice what David says to him as he bows on his face. David said unto him four things. First one, number one, fear not. You can sense these words coming from the king. He's in the presence of the earthly king. Remember, he's a shun. He's a disgrace. He's a shame. He's a crippled boy. And now he's in the presence of the earthly king. He can't imagine being there. He's on his face. He's showing reverence. And the king says to him, son, don't fear. Wow. There's no need to fear. New Testament, we would probably hear Jesus say something like this, peace be to you. He says, fear not. Second thing, notice what he says. I will surely show thee kindness. I will a certainty, I will with absolute certainty show you kindness. In other words, he wants him to know there's no need for him to be afraid. Number two, he wants to bless him. He wants to show him favor. He wants to show him kindness. Number three, he said, I'll restore thee all the land of Saul, thy father. It was actually his grandfather. He said, I want to bless you and I want to restore all that was your grandfather's. And then watch the last thing. He said, and you shall eat bread at my table continually. I don't know, Brother Brian, if Mephibosheth could even lift up his head. I know he heard the words of the king, but don't you imagine it was difficult for him to understand how that he was sought after and how he was brought and carried into the presence of the king. And now the king is saying, don't be afraid. I want to show kindness to you. I want to restore all that was your papa's. And I want you to eat at my table from now on. Wow. A purpose. There's a purpose that leads. You see, compassion in verse 7 from the king leads to a confession, a purpose that leads to a confession. Look in verse 8. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant? Here's how we'd say it today in Jonesboro. Who am I in the presence of the king that you should look upon me, that you would invite me, that you would bring me into your presence, that you would look upon me? Such a dead dog as I am. I find that quite unusual, my brothers and sisters. Do you? A dead dog? I looked that word up in the Hebrew. You know what it means? It means useless and worthless. Catch that. Grab that with the depths of your soul. Mephibosheth, who has been shunned as an outcast, now has been invited and carried and brought into the presence of the earthly king. And he says, what? Who am I that you would even look upon such a useless, worthless, dead dog like me? The purpose of favor that leads to a confession from Mephibosheth. But there's a point four. Look, starting in verse 9, we see a partaking of the charity. Not only has the earthly king told him, but now, He gets to partake. The king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, I have given thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and all of his house. So he makes it very clear, okay? Thou therefore, thy sons, thy servants, so all the land, you're going to till it, you're going to take care of it, you're going to take care of all the family. You see the blessing? You see the favor? It's not to just one lame boy, it's to his whole family. But verse 11, catch this. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. Do you see the overflow of the favor that God had blessed David with, that now David has blessed Mephibosheth with? Now Mephibosheth, because of that, is his family's being blessed. Oh man, oh, the amazing grace we see here of God. And so, but what's this last part? But now, here's what David said. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one. Look at that. As one of the king's sons. I don't know about you. Boy, that speaks mountains to me. From rags to riches. Think about the scene. Physical application. How that David was blessed of God, and because of God's favor in David, David showed the favor of God to Mephibosheth and to Ziba and to the house of Saul. But there's deeper meaning here. The four spiritual truths, quickly, same exact one. The promise of a covenant, number one. The more deeper spiritual meaning here. We find in Christ alone that in Hebrews we find that the blood of bulls and goats are not sufficient for the cleansing of the conscience. But we have a new and better covenant through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That according to Hebrews chapter 9, once and for all, He shed His blood. Amen. Through the new covenant, we have the Lamb of God. His name is Jesus Christ. We have the promised covenant fulfilled by God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, what a promise of a new and better covenant, my brothers and sisters. I pray that this text would drive us to our knees to appreciate the fulfillment of the Word of God, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. But in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem us from the curse of the law. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But to as many as receive Him, to them He gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe upon Him. Do you see the promise of the covenant? Oh, my friend, listen. I pray that you have received this new covenant in Jesus Christ as the sacrificial lamb. Jesus Christ is our one and only eternal sacrifice for our sin. Amen. Once and for all. Amen. And if you grasp that in your soul, then you will be a person of conviction. You will be much like Mephibosheth,
to understand that you were sought after by the King of all kings. Amen. It is the Lord God Almighty that sought you out, that fetched you, that brought you, that carried you into His presence. You cannot come to God of your own self. Had we been left to ourselves, we would never be brought unto the King. Amen. But because of the grace and mercy of God, because of Him, He chooses us. He selects us. He calls out to us. He draws us unto Himself. No man can come unto the Father except the Spirit draw him. And oh, when He draws us, we'll be likened unto Mephibosheth. We will fall upon our faces and we will cry out and show reverence to the King of Kings. That leads us to point number three, spiritually. There's a purpose that leads to a confession. Oh, we see David blessed Mephibosheth. Remember the four things? Fear not, I'm going to show you kindness. I'm going to restore the land. You're going to eat at my table. Oh, when you hear this from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to know we can hear those sweet, sweet words. Peace be unto you, as I give unto you, and not as the world gives. Oh, we know that we're in the presence of Almighty God. My friend, that will understand that it is He and it is only He that can restore. It is only He that can redeem. It is only He that can grant us access to sit at His table. Oh, this great confession will lead us to say as Mephibosheth, who am I that a king would live and die for and be resurrected for? Who am I that a king would live and die and be resurrected for? How can you look upon us such a dead dog as I? I want you to know I was Mephibosheth. Useless, worthless, dead, depraved, separated, rebel, stinking sinner, deserving of the wrath of Almighty God. And it is God who so loved me that He looked upon me. Amen. And my friend, I want you to know maybe today He's doing that to you. Count your blessings. Oh, but there's a fourth part spiritually. Amen. I'm going to probably need to try to contain myself here because this is where the Baptist leaves me a little bit. You see, there's a partaking of the charity. There's an understanding that we get to sit at the King's table. Amen. We're His. We belong to Him. We are one of His sons and daughters. Amen. We get to do that presently, but glory to God, we get to do that futurely. Amen. We get to do that in the future. How do we do it presently, Brother Craig? I'll tell you, we get to sit down with the King of Kings. We get to sit down, sup with Him, and He with us. How is that carried out? Oh, we're invited to come to the waters and drink. Drink of that which will not cost thee, as Isaiah 55 says. Oh, that we may sup with the Lord, as Mary was found at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, lapping up and hearing every word that the Lord would say to us. We have the open invitation and opportunity to sit at the King's table and sup with Him, my brothers and sisters. Y'all do know that, don't you? Oh, but in the future, Revelation 19, I'm not going to go there, but maybe you can go home and do a little homework. There's a such thing in Revelation 19 called the marriage supper of the Lamb. I thought y'all would be a little bit more excited than that. I'm just about to have me a Holy Ghost fit up here. Glory to God. There ain't going to be no pandemic. There ain't going to be no marches or no riots or no protesting. And there's not going to be no depravity. There's not going to be no depression. Amen. There's not going to be no discouragement. We're going to sit down at the King's table. He's called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. Glory to God. We've been invited to His table. Not on the account of our worthiness, but on the account of His worthiness. That through His shed blood, we can sit down at the table of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can sup with Him for all eternity. You say, Brother Craig, what will we have? Will we have ribeye? Will we have pork chops? Will we have mashed potatoes? Will we have gravy and green beans and turnip greens and cornbread and biscuits? No, sir, my brothers and sisters. Don't you dare think earthly. When we sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb, we'll have the best of the best. We'll get to eat and sup upon the Lord. We'll lavish upon Him for all eternity. And we'll never be filled with His glory, with His majesty, with His awesomeness, I'll tell you. As Paul Washer says, for all eternity, we'll run after Christ and we'll never exhaust the fullness of who He is. Can I ask you, do you understand what it means from rags to riches? Maybe this morning you walked in filthy rags, understanding that you're lost, dead in your sin. But the Spirit of God and the Word of God has done a work in your soul this morning, and you know of the favor of God now. You know of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the new covenant in the sacrificial Lamb of Jesus Christ. And by faith through repentance, you embrace Christ with all that you are for all that He is. Maybe you're here this morning and you do understand the riches, but you're enjoying them more so because you know of who He is and who you are. The Father's favor that was shown to a king that showed His favor to another father, who then the blessings were horizontal to many others. Oh, the day that God's people would live in that way. Would you stand? We prepare for time of invitation. You respond as the Lord would lead you. Brother Brian's going to be down front. He'll greet you and welcome you. Come as the Lord would lead. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your grace and mercy. Thank You for the message of rags to riches. I pray we've not only heard it, but we've received it. And it's been applied. And we'll exercise faith and repentance in every measure as You would lead us for Your glory and our good. In Jesus' name, amen.